preacher.
Thank you for coming.
Well, it's certainly a blessing for me to be here tonight. I really appreciate your preacher. I appreciate the kindness that you have expressed to me while I was here the last time. And it's good to see Brother Azen. We spent some time together down at the Shoa, and it's been a while, but I'm glad that he's still there being faithful. And thank you for coming tonight. We need to get together more. You know, the Bible says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so I really believe we need to have more meetings. I know that it gets to where we just kind of, okay, another meeting, another night. But brothers and sisters, we need to be together more. We need to have more of God's Word and the preaching and the teaching of it. And we're going to go to Psalm 1 tonight, a very familiar psalm. Most of you, probably a lot of you, have the whole psalm memorized. If not, let me encourage you to memorize this psalm. I'm sure you've heard much preaching and teaching on it. Nothing new tonight, just something, again, to press the reset button. Just to bring to remembrance those things that we already know, as Peter would say in his epistles, but we need to hear it again. And I've heard many messages on this passage. And so let's go ahead and read through the passage. Again, it's only six verses long. Perhaps you could say, you could quote it without looking at it. Psalm number one, and let me pray first. Father, again, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the freedom that we have to come tonight to hear the preaching and the teaching of your word. Lord, we don't take it for granted, and certainly, Lord Jesus, I don't want you to be on the outside trying to get into the service tonight. I pray that you would work in our hearts, that you would be the center of what takes place. Lord, we know that all is in vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down, as I see here on the pulpit, and it's so true. We need you to do a work in our hearts through your word. So, Lord, help me, cleanse me by your blood, and Holy Spirit, fill me and direct in the preaching tonight, not just for myself, but for Brother Azen as he comes. And Lord, help us to be tender to your spirit. Help us to be responsive to your word. Help us to be changed because we spent time in your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Bible says, as he finishes up here, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Amen. He knows the way. Yes. And he also knows that the way of the ungodly shall perish.
That's right.
The Bible says, blessed is the man. The Lord wants us to be blessed. Yeah. The Lord wants his people to be happy. And the problem with myself and the problem with us is that many times we seek happiness and success in the wrong places. The Bible is very clear here and makes it very, very, very simple, really. He says that a man who wants to be blessed, happy, is that person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's a counsel out there in the world today. I don't know if you noticed it, but it's flooding us. Now that we have our little iPhones, smartphones, so computers, and we have the internet, and we're connected to the world, we get lots of counsel online now. Right. And I think that we get more bombarded now electronically than we ever have before. And we are fighting it on every hand. We get the electronic news. We get the philosophy of the world is bombarding us. And I really don't want to admit it, Brother Azen, but really, if we're honest with ourselves, we have been really influenced by the world and the thinking of the world and the counsel of the world.
Right.
The Bible says that we are to not walk in that counsel. The Bible says that we are to be separated from that. We are not to be in the way of sinners. The idea there is the idea of going the same direction that the world is going. There is a current. There is a control that Satan has in this world system that we live in. And the Bible says that before we got saved, we were going with the current, going with the direction of the world. And the Lord saved us. He pulled us out of that.
Yes, sir.
And the Bible says that there is a counsel of the world. There is a way the world, direction the world is going. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's the idea of just kind of being there in that critical spirit, that mindset of criticizing and questioning the best direction, the perfect direction, and it's called the Word of God.
Right.
Last night I'm on Facebook, and I have several friends that are in the same unit that I am in. I'm a Civil War reenactor. I've said this before. Maybe some of you don't know that. But I have some men in the 3rd Maine, Company A, that have friended me. And at first, I was a little apprehensive. But then I thought, you know what? I'm supposed to be a testimony. I'm supposed to be a witness.
Man.
And so I'm posting. Those of you that have seen my posts, I post a lot of scripture. I'm obviously talking about the meetings that I've been in and some of the things that the Lord has spoken to my heart about in the preaching in my home church at Gospel Light. And so all the things that I try to post on there, I post with the believers in mind to try to be a help, to try to be a spiritual encouragement, sometimes a spiritual, let's say, conviction. Sometimes to kind of shake us out of our complacency, things like that. And so I have just one gentleman who is a liberal theologian. I didn't know about that until he started responding to some of my posts. And so we went back and forth, point, counterpoint, that sort of thing. And of course, he's liberal in his theology. He's liberal in politics. He's way out there. Come to find out, he tells me that he was studying for the priesthood, and somehow or other he got a hold of these philosophers, these liberal theologians that he's kind of taken into his mindset and his thinking. And so we're going back and forth, and last night he's decided to go into one of those back and forth things. And I try to be very focused on just giving him the Word of God and giving him passages from Scripture. So every time he gives me a line or questions something, the Lord brings a couple of passages to my mind and I try to give it to him. But believe it or not, there are many times when he'll respond with a LOL, and he'll put the funny, the laughing face icon when I make statements that are right from the Bible, or I give him a Bible quote. But you know, that's the world, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
They are sitting in the seat of the scornful. They look at the Bible and they criticize it. They scorn it. They say, oh, that's crazy. And in fact, the conversation got to the point where he said, well, he said something like this. He said, well, I can see that you're not very intelligent because you believe the Bible, right? And I said, well, you know, I kind of leave it at that. But see, that's the way the world does. That's what the world does. The world scorns the Bible. The world scorns what God has to say. And the Bible is telling us, don't get to that place where you look at God's Word the way the world looks at God's Word.
Yes.
But how are we going to get there? Well, this is how we get there, verse 2. But His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate both day and night. Now, it's interesting. See, what verse 2 is saying is that if you're in verse 2, then you won't be in verse 1. See? It's not the idea that I'm going to separate from the world and not be in the book. What the psalmist here is saying is basically this. If you are in the book, the result will be verse 1. You will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You won't stand in the, you won't go or in the way of sinners. You won't sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. So what the psalmist here is describing is an individual who is saturated with the word of God.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, what we need in our country right now,
yes,
is, I said this, I think I may have said this before, the last time I was here, I said this in several churches, but we need a Bible revival. And I'm talking about in our fundamental Bible believing King James Version churches. Yes. We need to get back in the Bible.
Yes,
it's incredible how much I've been convicted personally, I'll be honest with you. There'll be so many things that have been said or thought and even a way of thinking that I've had for a long time, and then I find out, wait a minute, where did that come from? It doesn't go with the book. That kind of thinking, that attitude, that spirit, where did I get that? I didn't get that from the book.
Right. Amen.
But you know what? If we're saturated in the Word, we are going to be separated from the world.
Amen.
The Bible says his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now here it goes. There's a need for hungering and thirsting after the book.
Amen.
We need to get to the place, God help us. You know, Jesus said in the Beatitudes, he said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after what? After righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, the problem is that we don't come to church hungry.
Amen.
We don't come to Bible studies hungry and thirsty.
Amen.
I'm an avid hiker. And one of the things that I needed to learn after many years of hiking is I need to be hydrated. I need lots of water. And there are times when I am walking through the woods or I'm climbing up a mountain and I'm sweating profusely, and that's an indication that I am losing lots of water and I need to replenish that supply. If I don't, I'm going to be in trouble. Amen. But the problem is that if I start drinking when I'm sweating profusely, that's an indication that it's late. When you get that thirst physically, that's an indication that you should have taken in that water a few hours ago. I thought, well, that's an indication they need to drink now. No, that's an indication physically that you should have hydrated a couple of hours ago, and now your body is saying, I'm out, or I'm running low on water. And there comes a point, though, when I'm hiking that, yes, I get that desire for water, and everything that I can do to make sure that I get water and I get it in my backpack, I've got to have it, because when that thirst comes, I've got to have that water. It's not maybe or when I have time, I've got to have that water. You know, when we go to when we get to that place that during the day where we get hungry, you know, the stomach starts growling, and we know that's the body telling us, hey, I'm hungry. And when we get to that that supper table or that dinner table, we are ready to eat. We have that desire. You see, what the Lord is trying to tell us is that we've got to come to his word with that same passion, with that same desire. It's not, well, here I am, it's Tuesday night, and I better be here, because if I'm not here, the pastor's going to frown, and I'm probably going to get a phone call, or some brother or some sister is going to say, where were you Tuesday night? It's not a matter of what anybody else says, brothers and sisters. It's a matter of, are you hungry?
Amen.
Spiritually.
Yeah.
Are you thirsty spiritually? When you open the Word of God, whether it's here or at home, are you opening it with the same idea of, I really need this book today?
Amen.
I really need to hear from God today. I just can't wait. See, the word here is delight. It's, I can't wait. I can't wait to get into the Word. It's not, well, I don't have time today, or, you know, well, I'll get to it when I can get to it. Look, when we get hungry, we make time for that meal, don't we?
Right.
Right? We'll make time. We'll do what we got to do. We'll catch it maybe on the road, or we'll nuke it at home, or we'll do something, but we're going to have a meal. Okay? We're going to eat something. And it's not, well, I'm too busy to eat, or I'm too busy to satisfy my thirst. No, we make time for it.
Yes.
You see, If I'm going to do something that I really like, I'm going to make time for it. See, the Bible is using the word delight.
Yes, sir.
So that means there needs to be a desire when it comes to the Word of God.
Amen.
We need to cultivate that desire. We need to delight in it. We need to hunger for it. We need to thirst for it. The Bible says His delight is in the law of the Lord. And then it says this. And in His law doth He, what's the next word?
Meditate.
Meditate. You probably heard this from your preacher or from other preachers, but that word meditate has the idea of like a cow chewing its cud. How many of you have ever seen a cow do that? All right? I've done a little bit of milking several years ago when I was in Connecticut. I just wanted to get the feel of how to do it, you know, and you go out there and you do the messy job. It's very, very gross, okay? That's not the only thing I can tell you. We romanticize it when we're driving by and we see the cows out there and they're grazing and everything, but do the milking part and then do the part of cleaning the milking barn after it's over, and you will kind of say, I'm not really crazy about this, amen, right? But you see those cows and you know what they do? They take that grass and they'll chew it and chew it and chew it and they'll swallow it, and you know the story. They will take it into, and I'm told there are 3 or 4 stomachs. I don't know how many stomachs there are. But any farmers here that can straighten me out on that tonight? Okay? But really, ultimately what they do is they chew it, they swallow it, and then they bring it up and chew it again, and they do it back and forth until they get all of the juice, all of the nutrients that the grass has. That's what that word meditate means here in this passage. So the idea is, I need to go to the Word of God because I really, really need it. I want to be in it. Yeah. I delight in it.
Amen.
I just want to be in it. I'm not going to just put it aside and forget about it until next Sunday or next Wednesday or when I get time and I get around to it. No. I need it. I want it. I got to be in it. And I'm going to chew on it.
Amen.
Now, the idea here is that when you and I read the Word of God, we need to stop and ponder.
Amen. Yeah.
Stop and let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. It's not the idea of running through it so that we can say, I did my devotions. So when pastor says, have you read your Bible? I don't want to feel guilty because I didn't read it, so I'll read, you know. And we do the thing where we go to the Psalms because it's short, you know, that kind of thing. And we go through it quick and we walk away from our devotions, if we have devotions. But have you ever stopped to think, what did God say to me today in this passage?
Amen.
What was the takeaway? What can I take with me all day long? Or just kind of stop and not looking at the clock and not saying, okay, I gotta get this over with. No, but it's like, you know, this the Lord's speaking to me. Let me think here. The Lord is trying to tell me something. Lord, please help me to see what you have for me today. Yes. And stop and think and think and meditate and think. And think and think.
Yes, sir.
That takes time.
Yes.
That's not something you can rush through.
Amen.
See, how many of you have a favorite dish that you love? I mean, you just love, okay? All right? Some of you don't. Well, I don't know. You're going to have to, I guess, work on that, right? But I'm sure there's something that you like, right? I don't know about you, but when I get to my favorite dish, I don't want to inhale. You know, I want to kind of take it and just enjoy it for as long as I can. Okay? Anybody like that?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe you're not me. I like it so much. You know, it's gone. I don't know. But I like to kind of let it, you know, take my time enjoying it. And that's the idea here. Meditation, it's takes some time.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time.
Yes, sir.
You see, the psalmist is saying, not just delighting in it, but meditating in it.
Amen.
Stay with me. Go to Joshua 1:8. You know this one as well. Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. Another verse that probably many of you have this memorized. Joshua 1:8. of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt, what? What's the next word? Meditate therein, day and night. You've got to do that part first. See, in order for you to do the second part, that thou mayest observe to do.
Yes.
But see, we're not doing very much because we're not meditating very much, if at all.
Amen.
You see, the connection with the Word of God and my living the Christian life is crucial. It's impossible for me to live the kind of Christian life that the Lord wants me to live apart from my relationship with the Word of God.
You're right.
If I am not in the Word, if I'm not spending time regularly in the Word, and not just speed reading, and I'm all for reading the Bible in 1 year, but here's what I'm really seeing in these passages. And that is, take your time, let God speak to you, and don't worry about getting the Bible done in 1 year, but just get something from the Word of God each and every day.
Amen.
And eventually get through the Word of God. Whether it takes 1 year or a year and a half or 2 years, whatever it takes.
Amen.
I mean, get through the book, but don't go through it just to say I read it. Okay? Because I've been there as a student in college and a student in high school. You know, you go through and you read, and you have to read this novel because it's got to be done for English, you know, lit or American literature. And, you know, have you ever done that? You kind of speed read so you can say I read it. But then here comes the question. The teacher will ask you questions from the story.
Man.
Did I read it? I did. And then they start asking questions. Don't ask me any questions. I read it. Okay?
Man.
Don't go there. Okay? But I wonder if sometimes we do that with the Word of God. We read it, but have you ever stopped and said to yourself, after you close your Bible, what did I get from God's Word today that I can take with me?
Amen.
What truth, what principle can I take with me today that's going to change my life? You see, God is interested in His Word changing us.
Yes.
Completely changing us, but we've got to go through these steps. There's no easy way. Okay? He says, meditate therein day and night that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then, okay, then thou shalt have, thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. We're failing because we're not doing the first part of the verse.
Right.
We're seeing ourselves not really maturing, not really growing, not really successful spiritually because we're not doing the first part. And that is, we've got to start with meditating. We've got to start with delighting in the Word. And so that's what we hope, that's what I hope, that's what Preacher hopes that this meeting will do for you, to get you in the Word, to get us back to the book. Let's go back to Psalm 1. So we see that word meditate in Joshua 1:8. We see the word meditate here in Psalm chapter 1 and verse number 2. And the idea here, day and night.
Yes.
Brother Pinto, all day? All night? Well, it depends on how much you meditate. Right? Depends how much time you are really thinking and focused on the passage that you're reading. Because if I am really meditating, guys, how many of us meditate? Think a lot about sports. Okay? It's incredible to see what I read on Facebook with some of the posts and people posting what they post. And you can almost tell that what they're delighting in by what they're posting.
You're right.
Amen.
And how much comes out and how much is posted on there. And it's almost like, you know, can't they talk about anything else other than sports? Can't they talk about anything else other than... No, you know why they can't? Because they're meditating in sports.
Amen.
Day and night.
That's it.
And the idea is that we're literally in the book all day long and all night long, but the idea is it so much saturates our mind, we're so much thinking about it, that it just comes up during the day. Verses come up during the day. Now, brothers and sisters, that's where I want to be.
Yes, sir.
That's where I want to be. Last night when I was speaking to that gentleman, trying to witness to him, I was blessed by the fact that when he said something that was off the wall, that the Holy Spirit brought to me a passage to help answer that, that statement.
Yes, sir.
But that only comes when we're meditating.
Yes, sir.
When our minds are saturated. And this is the idea. Saturated in the Word keeps us separated, verse 1, from the world's counsel, from the way the world is going, from the critical world out there. And then it says, verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water,
Amen.
That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. Have you seen that word before?
Amen.
Joshua 1:8?
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
I have an apple tree in my in my front yard that is not producing very well. In fact, I almost cut it down early this spring because I thought it was dead.
Yeah.
When I first moved there about 4 years ago, it was producing some nice apples, actually. And in fact, the deer would come later on and they would get the apples that would fall into the ground. But I noticed something last year, Brother Asen, in the fall, that whatever apples were on there, they looked pretty gross. They didn't look very appetizing. And there weren't very many of them there. Now, I don't know what caused the apple tree that I have to look like it's dying and it's looking like it's lying its full death. The leaves did come out, which I was surprised. I thought it was completely dead. The leaves are out, but the leaves look pretty sick, and I don't think much is going to come as far as fruit goes. You know what God wants to do?
Amen.
Through His Word in our lives?
Amen.
He wants us to be like a tree that is healthy.
Amen.
Planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth its fruit in its season.
Amen.
Have you ever eaten off an apple tree? How many have taken an apple off an apple tree?
Amen.
You literally have taken that. How about anybody taking an orange off an orange, been in Florida? I've done it. Peach tree, okay, right? And a healthy tree, you don't mind picking off that and eating from that.
No.
And it's always beneficial to go by an apple tree, a peach tree, an orange tree, and you see that fruit hanging down. It's ready, it's good for the taking, it's good to eat, and you just enjoy it. You know, that's what God wants us to be, spiritually.
Yes, sir.
But what happened is, what's happening in many of our churches is, we are not like that tree planted by the rivers of water.
Amen.
We are not bringing forth our fruit.
Amen.
And that fruit comes when we meditate, when we spend time in the Word,
Amen.
When we hunger and thirst after the Word of God, and we are meditating in it, we're going to be like that tree. We're going to have apples. We're going to have whatever that fruit is. And that fruit is going to be beneficial to anybody that needs to eat.
Amen.
You see, what the world needs to see in our churches, when they come into our churches, is they need to see a whole bunch of spiritually healthy trees that are bearing fruit.
Amen, but you're right.
But what happens is, a lot of times, they come into our churches, and we have our faith in the Bible, but we're not in it very much. And so what's happening is that a lot of us are like my apple tree in the front yard.
Amen.
Barely alive.
Amen.
Barely alive. The leaves are barely green or they look sick. And then what's coming out is nothing that's appetizing at all. And so we wonder why when the world comes by and they see us, and they see us in our workplace, and they see us out there, and they go by and they look at us and they go, wow, I don't want to eat of that tree. Oh, look at that. Oh, it's supposed to be an apple tree, but I don't see any apples. It's supposed to be a peach tree, but I wouldn't eat that peach. I wouldn't eat any of those peaches that are in that tree. I wonder if the world is looking at us and they're saying, he's a Christian. But I don't see anything Christian about
it. Yes, sir.
He goes to that church. He goes to Gospel Life Baptist Church. But boy, I've seen the way he works. I've heard that lady talk. I'm watching. I'm going, oh really? You go
go to that church? You go to the Baptist church?
Yes, sir.
Really? The Bible says, we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water if we're
His Yes, sir.
You see, you got to have verse 2 in order to have verse 3.
Amen.
Verse 2 is the key. It is the key.
Amen.
It is the, really, the climax. See, verse 1 and verse 3 are because of verse 2. See, without verse 2, there's no verse 1.
Amen.
See, we don't want to be separated. We want to be like the world. Why? Because we're not in verse 2. We're not meditating the Word. We're not in the Word.
Right.
We want to be productive. But we're not in verse 2. So if we can't do verse 3 if we're not in verse 2. Are you with me tonight?
Amen.
See, yes, sir. The key is the Word of God.
Amen.
In our life, in my
life.
Amen.
My way of thinking is not God's way of thinking.
Right.
It's just not. I have been provoked, preacher.
Yeah.
Many, many times I find myself thinking of having an attitude or a way of thinking about life that is completely, it's not Bible.
Yeah.
It's not Bible.
You're right.
And we've got to be careful. We've got to realize that this mind of ours has a subroutine. And if we're not saturated in the book, if we're not constantly saturating our minds in this book, the subroutine of our mind, our way of thinking, automatically kicks in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Automatically. Without any effort. It automatically kicks in.
Amen.
So that when bad things happen, when circumstances come into our lives and we just kind of go, we react the same way the world does, you know what that means?
Amen.
We're not saturated in the book.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
When we react towards our family members, husbands, wives, when there's issues there between the two of you, it's probably because one of you or both of you need to get saturated in the book again.
Amen.
Because if we don't, we're just going to go to our subroutine. And you know what that is.
Amen.
Nothing good comes out of our flesh.
Right.
Nothing good comes out of the way we think.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's so important. It's so key, brothers and sisters, that we focus on verse 2 if we want to see verse 1 and verse 3 happen in our life.
Amen.
We need to be saturated so that we can be separated, so that we can be situated
Amen.
In where God wants us to be. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be producing fruit.
Amen.
That others
Yes.
can benefit. See, your preacher is doing the best he can to be in the book so that he can be like a tree planted by the rivers of water so that you can benefit from the fruit.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
But you know what? All of us can do what preacher does. We all need to be saturated in the book so that we can bear fruit so that those in your circle
Amen.
Can benefit. They can come over and they can see, wow, I like that apple. Wow, that's different. Wow, I've never seen a peach that juicy, that good. And that's what God wants for all of us.
Amen.
Not just for a few of us, but for all of us.
Amen.
So, just some highlights, really. There's much more in chapter 1 there. But just some highlights, something for you to meditate on.
Amen.
Okay? The idea is, when it's all said and done, when this preacher is done preaching, it's not, okay, that was a good message. It's, oh man, that was a great message. I need to think about that tonight.
Amen.
I need to think about, boy, there's some things I need to think about. I need to write this down. I need to meditate. I need to chew on that some more.
Amen.
Let's do a lot of meditating this week, shall we?
Amen, preacher.
Let's do a lot of meditating. Let's go ahead and let's stand with heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's stand. Let's pray. Thank you for your attentiveness. Let's pray, Father, just touching the hem of the garment tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. Because really meditating takes time. It takes time. There's so much more that we can take from these three verses, from these four, from the whole chapter. And Father, once again, I'm convicted because I know I need to
be more saturated with the Word so that I can be separated from the world, so I can be situated in the place of blessing and success. Lord, help us to do that. Help us as we hear more from your Word tonight. Speak to our hearts. Change us, please. With heads bowed, eyes closed, how many would say tonight, with heads bowed, eyes closed, you would say, Brother Pinto, without a shadow of a doubt, I know that I know that I know that if I were to die tonight, I know that I would go to heaven. Would you be willing to raise your hand as a testimony tonight? Yes, I am. I know for sure that I would go to heaven if I were to die tonight. God bless you. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Anyone here tonight that would say, Brother Pinto, I am not sure. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to pray for you. Anybody like that? If you are like that, I would love to pray for you that you would speak to someone after the service tonight. I'm sure there will be several that would be glad to take you aside and try to help you with that. Anybody here tonight that would say, I am not sure, Brother Pinto, pray for me. Anybody like that?
Yes, sir.
Believers, how many would say tonight, oh, Brother Pinto, you know what? I need to get saturated in the Word. I need to get saturated in the Word. It's been a while since I meditated. It's been a while since I've taken away something that has changed my life, my way of thinking. I need to get back into it, or I need to do more of it. Anyone like that? Believer tonight. Yes. Believers tonight. My hand's up. I need it.
Yes.
Father, thank you for these believers. Yes. Lord, continue to work in our hearts, please. Through the preaching of your word, help us to think on these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You'll take your songbooks. We're going to sing in just a moment.